WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight. Who wants to walk with Elias?
Yeah. Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Because when the hounds come down to this ring, you got two choices. You get out of our yard, or we beat your ass.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
This episode of Monday Night Raw is all about, will Dean Ambrose leave the Shield? If anyone out there actually believed that Dean Ambrose was going to turn his back on the Shield tonight on Monday Night Raw, you'd be stupid. This is the Raw Post Show live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by GirlWork.net and MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rock, and that's Lindsay Ward.
But at some point, it could happen, right?
Eventually. But it wasn't going to happen when they have a match scheduled in 10 days.
Oh, I know that. Like, they're not going to do it right now, but it's like you have Dean Ambrose again walking around with anger issues that nobody's questioning. Like, nobody's asking him if he's okay, right? Like, I'm waiting for the moment where somebody's just, like, walking up to Dean Ambrose and he's grinding his teeth and snarling and crap, and they're like, dude, are you okay? And he's like, I'm fine!
Here, I could have made a more compelling TV show in 2 seconds. Want to hear how I made a more compelling TV show?
Bray Wyatt?
No. They were talking about how that Roman Reigns, they're the standards because they have the championships, and, you know, they point out Dean doesn't have a championship, the bad guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Roman and Seth were talking all up about their championships and how they're champions, and the bad guys were talking how Dean doesn't have one. Here, you want to be an evil general manager who was put in his place by Stephanie, said, you got to go out there and fight the Shield tonight again with two partners. The more compelling thing is, like, have Baron Corbin. Evil Baron Corbin out there. Give Dean Ambrose a shot at either Roman or Seth. What more compelling television would that have been?
I feel like that's coming later. I feel like whatever's going to happen at Super Showdown is going to continue that with Corbin and the Shield.
Possibly, but this was not compelling. We all knew in the main event, Dean Ambrose was not going to choose Ziggler and McIntyre and Braun Strowman side. Oh no, he was going to stick it with his boys after the Shield won, which he did. He was like in the middle. It was Roman and Seth in the ring, and you had Ziggler and crew on the other side. It's like, which way will Dean go? Which way will Dean go? And he goes into the ring and the crowd pops because he sticks with the Shield. It's like, if you were gullible enough to believe that he was going to the other side, there's a little something wrong with you.
It's still real to them, damn it. Don't take this away from them.
I'm taking this away from them because there was no chance that was going to happen. The main event.
There's no chance for a lot of things to happen, but that doesn't mean they still don't happen on occasion. I mean, here's the thing. It's like nobody expected Seth's turn when it happened. Like, nobody saw that coming. When the Shield broke up the first time, everybody thought it was going to be Dean or Roman. Nobody figured on Seth. Nobody.
And that's the thing. You're now telegraphing Dean's turn, and you shouldn't be telegraphing his turn if it's going to happen. Let it just naturally happen, but you spend an entire episode going, will Dean Ambrose turn? And it's like,
then you need to have Dean Ambrose walk around less angry.
He will never, ever do that.
I know that, But I'm just saying, if you don't want to telegraph the turn or have people think of that, then it's you have Dean gradually get more and more angry.
I mean, that's a you could do that, but to me, it's just like you're telegraphing this turn so much. It's like if the turn happened 6 months from now, that's fine. But if it, you know, it's like this was them thinking we need something for this show. What's more compelling than will Dean Ambrose turn on his buddies tonight? And as a viewer who really wants to get invested in the show, it's like there's no chance that that was going to happen. None. But that's me. You gotta keep my attention. It's like, the main event ended up being the Authors of Pain and Baron Corbin against the Shield. That right there doesn't scream tune in main event, by the way. It's great they elevated the Authors of Pain. They actually fought real people. That's great. But Baron Corbin's a mid-card act. The Authors of Pain right now are mid-card acts. They're not main event.
Okay, but then who do you put them in the ring with?
That's a good question, because here, let's go based on the numbers last week. Roman Reigns versus Baron Corbin killed the third hour.
And it was a bad way or a good way?
It went down to 2.4 million viewers.
Ooh! Ow!
So you went back to Baron Corbin in your main event again. Just pointing that out.
They don't have anybody else. That's the problem, is like, okay, you're going to do the feud with Corbin, fine, but you don't... You're pushing Ziggler and McIntyre, okay. You need that top-tier name there, and they just don't have it in place there. It's like...
There's so much talent out there that is lacking interest right now.
Where the hell is Bray Wyatt? Where is he? Somebody go find him. Somebody go to the swamp or go to Florida or go to wherever the hell he is. The Oakland Raiders, because I'm sure he's like yelling at their locker room door right now. And like, just go get him and bring him back to TV. Where is he? I miss him. I'm just going to make that demand right now. Because I'm serious. It's like, it almost feels like they're just lacking a severe depth of bad guys right now. And I know Bray Wyatt's supposed to come back as a good guy, but it's like, you just look at this show from top to bottom, and it's like, where was Balor?
He was in the opening contest. He beat Jinder Mahal.
Why are we not elevating Balor more? Kevin Owens in a talk. Okay, so wait. So you have Kevin Owens in...
The
Kevin Owens show with Elias.
Feuding with Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush.
Kevin Owens, one of the best heels. Probably arguably one of the best performers you have in the company right now.
He was carrying SmackDown Live last year.
Legit, he was. You've got him...
Elias is a mid-card heel, but Kevin Owens is much more... Kevin Owens is better than just being Elias's second at this point.
Yeah, he is. I feel like if Elias needs to go to the next level, maybe they need to get him away from... have him evolve more, but he's kind of stopped evolving and he's just where he's at. Because he's got a sweet gig. Nobody's faulting him for that. That, you know, he comes out, he plays his guitar, he gets interrupted, he does a fight, he's done.
Rinse and repeat every single week. It's the same shtick every week. Elias needs to grow as a performer, but he's stuck in the same position. He lost to Bobby Lashley by disqualification tonight. It's now setting up Lashley versus Owens next week. It's like, they're doing okay things. You had McIntyre and Ziggler beat the Revival. That was a good match. They retained the belts. But again, the Revival wasn't winning that matchup. We all knew that because it's not their turn yet. But it was a good match. You're lacking interesting characters right now. For as good of talent as Drew McIntyre is, on the mic, he's eh. And he's not as compelling as he should be. You have Dolph Ziggler doing the same shtick he's been doing for such a long time. It's just noise at this point. And it's hurting the act. You're turning Braun Strowman into a weak monster. Like, he was playing background fiddle in this thing, and it's just, I don't know, it's this show is getting frustrating to watch. SmackDown's such an easy show to watch, has such compelling characters. What's the problem? Like, why are we having trouble here and not there? Is it because of Roman Reigns on top? Is that the reason?
I don't want to blame Roman for everything.
I'm not. But it's like, they have a formula there.
They have a formula there, and here's the thing. It's like, okay, so you had Roman win the title. So that brings the title back to Raw, which means now that sort of frees up that whole main event scene to now go back after the Universal Championship again. So that frees up storylines in terms of people now being able to have universal title feuds, to have an IC title feud, to have tag title feuds. You know, you have those three titles all there now, so that should create more flow for people to shift around. But it's like, I'm just slipping through the roster, and it's like, you have Bobby Roode, who's arguably, again, one of the best heels that they have, if they let him go heel.
Playing cheerleader for Chad Gable.
Which, I'm not sure. Bray Wyatt is missing.
Hold on. Chad Gable lost to Connor of the Ascension to Night on Raw.
Don't take this away from Connor.
Just keep going. I'm getting through the results as you go. Keep going.
I'm going through it, and I'm looking at their roster, but, and it's like, again, Finn Balor.
Here's your thing. You say you have tag titles, Intercontinental, and heavyweight title, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're all on the same damn program. There's the problem. You were without a championship on top. Now you have all the championships together. It'd be much more compelling if you had it all split out other than this one power focus thing. And it's not. And a lot of it's on creative. And here's a question I'll ask it to you. Would the AJ Styles Samoa Joe feud work on Monday Night Raw?
With Roman on Raw?
Yeah.
No.
Say Roman wasn't on Raw, would this still work?
Yeah, because it's just you're moving it from Raw to SmackDown. Or from SmackDown to Raw. So it's...
But no, all right, here's a better way to do it. Would creative get given the freedom to tell that type of story on Raw that they do on SmackDown? That's a key. Because they don't tell the same type of story.
I have a stupid question.
Mm-hmm.
Are the same writers writing SmackDown? Are they doing Raw as well? Or does Raw have its own writers?
There's probably an overlap, but each probably has a certain group.
Who got Ryan Ward?
I don't know.
I feel like Ryan Ward is on SmackDown. That's the last I heard about him. And I feel like that's what's making some of the difference for SmackDown right now, is that you have...
Road Dogg's in charge of SmackDown. Like, he's the top filter before it gets to Vince.
We're not going to even start with that. We're going to start on...
But here's the thing. For all him, his concerns, he's doing a pretty good job with SmackDown.
He's doing a fine job with SmackDown. There are some issues there. It's not perfect, but it's more compelling than Raw.
His learning to listen to people is whatever.
I feel like the biggest problem with SmackDown and that whole situation is that the people that are running creative do not take criticism well and do not like the concept that criticism is coming instantaneously at them through the form of social media. That there's just, they don't know what to do with that because they're being questioned and they're being questioned by a lot of people and that they feel are inferior to what they know, and maybe they are. I don't know. But I feel like that's the biggest problem right now with SmackDown is they don't know how to take criticism of their product. Raw has a whole separate issue that, again, and I don't know what goes on backstage. You're getting what you pay for on this one, and we don't want to be these fans, and I don't want to sit here and blame Roman Reigns. I don't want to sit here and just, be
it's
like,
not
oh,
Roman.
Well, it's shit.
It's not Roman. It's the creative...
It's the creative surrounding Roman. It's the fact that I'm just sitting here flipping through the roster of Raw, and it's like, it's not the strongest roster, but you have so much talent on here, and there's a lot of talent that is going to waste. There's talent that's missing, and it's like, I understand, you don't really have anything for Finn Balor. Why don't you? You don't really have anything for Kevin Owens. Why don't you? You don't have anything for Bray Wyatt. Why? Why do you have nothing for Bray Wyatt? Those are three, okay? Three.
Bobby Roode.
Let me get to Bobby Roode. Those are three former world champions in their own rights, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Three. Count them. One's not even on the show, and two others are... One's playing second fiddle to Elias, and the other one they don't have anything for. Then there's Bobby Roode. Highly decorated, coming into WWE, multiple championships, former Impact Wrestling champion, former tag team champion. The list goes on and
former,
on and on.
Former
there.
NXT champion.
Yeah, I was getting to that. He's a former NXT champion. Where is he? He was incredible in NXT. They had him set up perfectly. They bring him up. They turned him face. And he's just completely stalled out. They've just let him fall to the wayside. And he's now playing second fiddle to Chad Gable. Why?
Who couldn't make television 6 weeks ago.
And Chad Gable's another one. Chad Gable's incredibly talented.
But he should be a heel. Chad Gable's a great heel.
Yeah, he is.
Like, him and Jason Jordan got over because Chad was a good heel and it turned him face. It's like, it was a natural heel to face thing. He's being annoying and it's like, But he's being booked as the babyface. He should be booked as the heel. Be the annoying heel.
B-team. We're the B-team.
They had their run.
No, they didn't. They didn't. They did not have their run.
They did.
They were starting to have their run, and then they killed it.
They gave them their chance.
It was getting over.
I'm not disagreeing, but I'm just saying that they had their chance.
They didn't really even get a chance. They're using them in the goddamn advertising. I saw a picture of it on Instagram. They're in the advertising for Shop. For a deal.
I know.
Where were they? They were nowhere to be found on TV.
Oh, I know.
Like, what? I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't want to sit here and whine and complain because I don't want to be that show, but it's just, it's like, what? This was just...
It's a tale of two nights. SmackDown's very compelling. It has you hooked to the television. Monday Night Raw, you're getting the same simple story and nothing. There's nothing to attach yourself to. If you're a fan of Will Dean Turn, then this was a great show for you. But for someone like me, it wasn't as a compelling show as it could be. It was a bunch of okay wrestling. That just was, you know, you had a good tag team title match. The main event was fine. You had just a bunch of other matches that just were sort of there. You had Liv Morgan get knocked out accidentally by Brie Bella when the Riot Squad won their match against the Bella Twins and Natalya. And yeah, so hopefully Liv's okay. We'll have an update on Thursday.
And by the way, everybody get off Liv. Get off Brie, please.
It's wrestling. Things happen.
Things happen. Brie did not intentionally hurt Liv, and... You know what? Shit happens. Okay? Brie apologized for it. That's all you need to know.
It's pro wrestling. It happens.
Let's all just hope and pray that Liv is okay and she'll fight another day. But Brie apologized. It was not Brie's intent for Liv to get hurt. Everybody chill. Okay? Just chill.
Nia Jax beat Alicia Fox. It's like, okay, fine. It's there. It was things that were there. There was nothing compelling to keep you hooked into the show unless you were really invested in the Ambrose thing. Okay, I'll give them this credit. They gave you a story from beginning to end. Was it a believable story? For you to judge. For me, it was hard to believe. I wasn't compelled.
I mean, honestly, I feel like at this point, at least with Drew, like, I really want to take Drew seriously. I really want to
Get away from Dolph.
Yeah, he has to get away from Dolph. I really want to take Drew seriously because he did all this work to get back to this level, to get back to WWE. He crafted a whole new character for himself. And the presentation of the character is such that it doesn't balance with Dolph. You have very uber serious, sweaty, hairy Drew. And then you have his little boy toy over here, Dolph Ziggler. And it's just like, it's two polar opposite, where to me it's like, it's just not there.
Also, Braun doesn't work.
Yeah, the whole thing is just like the way that it's like, it was fine for Braun to have backup in the title match. Because it's like, Roman's got the shield. Braun needs backup, so you have that backup and you move on. But it's like, even as Braun is as a heel, it's like, okay, have him be a monster. Like, the fact that you're having him cower, why are you having him cower? The man can flip an ambulance, he can flip a truck, he can flip a car, he could probably flip the building if he put his mind to it. Why are you having a guy that can do that? Can, in canon, do that? We've seen him do it with our own two eyes. Why are you having him cower? Why? He shouldn't be cowering. Let him go out there. Let him do his thing. I mean, I hate that we're complaining so much.
Because I want a compelling TV show. I want something to keep me away from building a sky base in Fortnite.
Legit. That's kind of what happened.
I want something compelling. I'm compelled on Tuesday nights. Give me compelled on Monday night. That's my plea. You know what's been compelling? You know the only thing that's been compelling on Monday nights?
Hmm.
Two 50-year-olds.
Yeah. Actually, technically
three. Three 50-year-olds.
That's the hottest storyline that they kind of have right now. And it shouldn't be, because this is the storyline that doesn't need any work to it. Like, they didn't have to do anything with Hunter and Taker and Sean. They could have just said Hunter and Taker and Sean are going to be in Australia. Boom. Done. Sold. All you had to do for it. The fact that they have built this feud, the fact that it is one of the most interesting things they have going on Raw right now, is really kind of sad. And maybe that's where all the energy's going, and that's why a lot of the other things are falling by the wayside, is because all the focus is shifting away from the main roster talent to Hunter, to Taker, to Shawn.
Not tonight.
not tonight, but in general, that's where all the energy is shifting, is to that match, is to build that match. And so it's like that focus is coming off of everything else. So, you know, because I mean, for Super Showdown, if you really look at it, the matches are pre-announced. So you don't really have that build to, well, let's have a match. You know, it's like, okay, you mix it up, you fight, you have the first match. You come out of that, you build the story back up again to where you have the second match. Well, here's the thing. You have nowhere to build to because it's already announced. They announced it before Hell in a Cell that, for example, Braun and Dolph and Drew were going to face off against the Shield.
They announced on Stone Line that you would have Miz versus Bryan. They announced Becky versus Charlotte. They announced AJ and Joe all before their matches that took place on the pay-per-view. This is why when we did predictions on the rack Thursday night, it's like we all knew they were headed in that direction. Again, rematches. It's fine that you're announcing things in advance, but have the stories built to them. Just again, I wouldn't be compelled on Monday nights to watch the television show. Right now, it's hard to keep being compelled to a TV show. SmackDown's cool, which is weird. It's the same company, but it's Raw. It's hard. It's not as compelling as it needs to be, and that's the flagship show. Something needs to change. They need more compelling stories. More real stories.
I have a feeling they're there.
But that's why SmackDown's working. They're real stories.
Like, I have a feeling all the stuff is there. Like, what we want is there. It's in the writing room. It's being creatively pitched. The problem is that it's like when you start taking it up the chain to that final filter, it's getting altered, it's getting watered down, it's getting moved. People are putting their own stamp on the original idea, so by the time it gets up there, it's not the same idea as where it started. You know, I see that a lot when I do every day. So it's like it makes complete sense that in terms of the creative process, the writers are coming up with potentially a really good idea and then they're sending it out.
And then they're
handing it off and they're handing it off and they're handing it off till it gets to Hunter or Vince. And then Hunter and Vince look at it and then they do whatever they want to do with it. And then it either makes TV or it doesn't.
Word reverts back to the same old unoriginal creative they've been running for a long time. It's a formula they've been running forever. They had the opportunity to do something cool and different the night after SummerSlam with the Shield returning. We've been saying this for weeks. And they dropped the ball. And now here's the thing. You put the Shield back together and 4 weeks later you're already trying to tease them breaking up.
How can they break up if they never really came together? Like, that's the thing. They keep going back and forth between the Shield is not the Shield. Shield is together, the Shield is not really together. I mean, it's like if you're gonna do the Shield, do the goddamn Shield. Okay? Just do the thing.
Alright.
Do the thing.
Alright. So one quick thing before we go. Awesome, they did a thing for Connor's Cure. They're now partnered with Hyundai. And they donated $200,000. They brought all the wrestlers out. They brought two people out. They gave them championships. It was fantastic PR. You also had Hunter there afterwards saying the end is near for The Undertaker, which means, you know, The Undertaker is not going to sit well listening to that. He'll be on Raw next week. And they've already confirmed the Heartbreak Kid's going to be on Raw next week.
It's going down, y'all. It's going down.
But that'll be it for us. Maybe we'll do more of this Thursday.
I feel like we need to, like, instead of just sitting here, you know, complaining, you actually sort this idea out. And yeah, we're probably going to be talking about this Thursday because it's just like there's too much here for us to cover in the Raw Post Show. And you can tell how interesting Raw was because we sat here and bitched, which we hate to do.
And we're bitching to keep us compelled to the TV set. That's the issue. Anyway, it's been the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews Total Diva Season 8, Episode 1 now available. Episode 2 probably available on Thursday. Speaking of Thursday, it's The Rack Live, 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right, tune in. We're probably talking about this, what we just talked about tonight, hopefully with less whining and less complaining.
Nope.
We'll have news, we'll have notes, NXT, SmackDown, and Tweet of the Week, all your favorites. And I think we're previewing... No, that's next week that we're previewing.
No, we also have Mae Young and Mixed Match Challenge, all Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show on all your favorite social media. Also, Fortnite with Friends, following the Rack every Thursday night. Season 6 is here. Thursday.
Does it drop Thursday or is it Friday?
I believe it drops Thursday. I assume. I don't know for sure. The only way to find out is follow social media. Anyway, Saturday night, midnight, if Rob's there, we're doing beers for Greater Than Great Debate. See Greater Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. #BlameRob when a celebrity dies. Sunday night, they'll be back to preview Super Showdown 10 p.m. Eastern on Wrestle Talk Radio. Back next Monday at Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. File, subscribe, twitch.tv/WGR Live, at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter and really all the social medias at Linsward, LANSWARD.
Thanks to Gerwick.net and MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. She's Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll be back at it Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern for the Rec. And right back here next Monday at Raw Post Show as the go home for a Super Showdown. Live across the airwaves. Streaming live on TuneIn Radio, Wild Talk Radio Network. Right here at WildTalkRadio.com.